The Bridge is a dynamic group of believers in the city of Huntsville, taking a hands-on approach to being the hands and feet of Jesus Christ. Whether you're a devoted follower, a skeptic giving this whole church thing a shot, or somewhere in between, you're welcomed at The Bridge.
CrossFit, becoming who God has created you to be. And I'm really excited about that today because I just believe that God is wanting to do a new thing in the lives of His people as we are beginning 2019. And so I just want to invite you just real quick, go look at the Word of God. I'm going to go to 1 Timothy, and we're going to go to chapter 4. And we're going to read verses 7 and 8. That's 1 Timothy, the 4th chapter. And we are reading verses 7 and 8. And it should be on the screen as well. There we go. And the Word of God says this: "But have nothing to do with worldly fables, fit only for old women. On the other hand, discipline." What does that say? "Discipline yourself for the purpose of godliness." And then verse 8 says, "For bodily discipline is only of little profit, but godliness is profitable for all things, since it holds promise for the present life and also for the life to come." With your prayers to God, so I want to just teach under the subject today: practicing spiritual greatness, the power of habit. The power of habit. If you bow your heads with me as we seek the Lord. Eternal Father, we just want to say thank you for who you are. We honor you today, God, for being, Lord, just being a good God. So right now, we just ask that you would open up our minds as we open up your Word today. We pray, God, that, Lord, we would not just receive some good information, but that we would receive heart transformation. And may the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight, my Lord, my strength, and our Redeemer. Amen. Practicing spiritual greatness, the power of habit. And just to kind of introduce our series today, one of the things that we're really trying to deal with for these next few weeks is, I don't know about you, but the beginning of every year is just, we do the same thing. Got that desire to change, and man, we start off real good. Week one, we're like in the gym on a regular. Like week one, we eating clean. Like we're not eating no sweets. We're not drinking any soda. Okay, maybe that's not all y'all. Y'all looking at me like, no, that's not me, Pastor. That ain't me. But you know, whatever that thing is that you really are wanting to just kind of experience a change in. Like we have a tendency, we start off real great, we start off real good. Man, we talk to God about it. Man, we're like, Lord, I want this year to be different. And we'll start off real well, we'll start off real good, we'll get that thing going, and then a few weeks down the line, we find ourselves back in the same situation. Am I the only one in here? Amen. Hey, I'm sorry. If I'm the only one that's all, I didn't sit with y'all, but we all, so I just find that to be a struggle. And what it really is, and what it just kind of highlights for all of us in the room, is the reality that for all of us, we know how to initiate change, but the challenge for all of us is that we struggle with how to sustain. Now, I can start. I can get it going. I can hear a sermon, and the Spirit of God places you under heavy conviction. Y'all been there before, man. The Lord just puts you under conviction. You're just like, man, yo, this is the way that I need to walk in. And like right after I leave, man, I'm like ready to go. I got my mind made up. I'm ready to do exactly what God has told me to do. And just a few days later, I find myself right back in the same situation that I was in. We know how to initiate the change. We know how to get that thing started. But the challenge that all of us experience, that all of us face, is that how do we sustain the change that has been initiated? And what we really want to do for these next few weeks is we really want to just kind of take some time to really just explore just how God is wanting not only for that change to be initiated in our lives, but we want to explore and see how God, in His Word, shows us how we can allow Him to sustain that change in our lives. Amen, somebody. We don't have to come back in 2020 on some stuff. Like, when we can literally, man, because of God's Spirit, because of what He's doing in our lives, man, like, He can literally help us to experience some change, some difference that actually lasts in our Christian experience. And so today, we're doing part one today on that. And that's really, we're just talking about the power of habit, the power of habit. Now, for those of you that have been here before that are, you know, that are regular attenders or members of the Bridge, you all know that I have 5 kids and I love them to death. My little girl, man, that is my heart. She's got me. I don't know. She's got me. Like, she could be just doing a little batty eye thing and I'm done. Or, man, she'll come and, like, you know, if you lay in the bed, she'll come, man, she'll come snug up right underneath you. And then I don't know what it is, but she loves, like flesh-to-flesh touching. So she'll, like, touch my belly. Like, that's just like, man, why is she touching my belly? But that thing just got me, man. And then sometimes I'm like, yo, man, baby, she needs to cut her fingernail, man. She scratches you up, man. She's y'all scratched up, man. You're like, Wolverine up this door. I got a witness in the back. Yeah. To be getting you, man. And so, you know, I mean, I have 5 kids, and so I've seen the whole gambit of my oldest is 11, so I mean, I've seen a lot. So one of the things, and this is not really my daughter's testimony, this is my son's testimony. And if you got some young boys in the house, some of you will resonate with this thing. So, man, it just amazes me, like my boys, right? But this kind of stuff that they will do, man, you know, you're teaching them how to brush their teeth, right? You're teaching them, I mean, you know, brush your teeth, you're teaching them how to shower. Right? Teaching them how to shower, you know, like get in there, you know, get in the shower and stuff. And, you know, I mean, just all these little things. So, you know, of course, as they're developing, as they're learning, as they're growing, you know, the brushing teeth is kind of, it's a little awkward. It's not like, you know, so you gotta kind of show them how to do this, you know, and so they don't really quite got that, you know, in the shower, you'll show them and, you know, they'll get under their arms finally, and you know, they'll like get, you know, between some stuff, and, you know, they'll finally start getting it, right? Yeah. So, kind of awkward at first, kind of not really all together, but what amazes me about these brothers, man, is that, like, after we have, now, they have proven themselves able, amen, they brushed their teeth successfully before. They have showered and come out smelling decent before. So what puzzles me, what boggles my mind, is those times when we're literally about to leave the house, and I ask you the question, bro, I ask you, have you brushed your teeth? And for you to respond back, no, Dad, we're about to leave. We're exiting the house. And I'm like, yo, dude, how are we going to go out without brushing our, like, what are we doing, right? So to kind of start off awkward, and you think that thing's kind of getting together, right? I mean, it still boggles my mind. I mean, if you have boys, maybe just mine, but yo, I mean, like, dudes will literally get in the shower, and you will hear the water running. So surely, some soap is going on the washcloth. Some rubbing under the arms is taking place. But 10 minutes go by. 15 minutes go by. And so you think to yourself, what is going on in there? And when you go into the shower and you open up the curtain, Joseph is just standing there. Hot water just rubbing down their bodies. And then when you gotta get in this shower, because you gotta go to work. Man, that joint is like Antarctica cold. You know, and so, you know, you're teaching things, you're teaching these habits, you're teaching this stuff. And the thing is that, you know, and I praise God because I know that there's light in the tunnel because, like, these things that you're teaching them, there's some things that you're trying to instill in them. There's some practices that they are beginning to do that initially were awkward. They were kind of like they struggled with those things that wasn't really easy for them. Now that they are repeating those practices, now that they're repeating those habits, they're now becoming second nature to them. It becomes automatic. The power of habit, because the reality is that initially it wasn't something that they could do easily, but now that they are doing it over and over and over again, even though we have some hiccups from time to time, that it's becoming something that is automatic. And the reality is that just like my sons, and just like my sons and the things that they experience, the stuff that they're struggling with, but now it's becoming more automatic. The same is true for all of us in the building today, where for all of us, we all experience kind of that same reality, but it's some stuff that we kind of start off doing that may be a little bit awkward, that may be a challenge, that may take a lot of thought. But then over time, the more that we do those things, they begin to become automatic. Are y'all with me? I don't know if y'all ever saw like that Charles Barkley golfing video. Has anybody ever seen that? Okay, you may want to YouTube that at another time. Okay, I'll tell you why I said that in a second. But yo, you may want to YouTube that at one time. But this is like the most awkward thing. Like Charles Barkley golf swing is crazy. It's like it is, but now that thing is improved. Why? Because what started off awkward, what started off kind of like weird, where he had to think about it, it hasn't improved. I feel like I saw a video the other day where it said, bro, it had to improve. Okay, man, don't mess up my sermon right now, man. Okay, we're going to pretend it's improved, right? Yeah, I mean, so when it started off awkward, when it started off kind of strange, it's like literally because of practice and repetition, maybe, he's gotten better. And so the thing is that because of this practice and this repetition, there's things that end up becoming automatic. And so, for instance, like for a lot of us, man, have you ever experienced, like, in your life where you're driving, you're moving down the road, and, like, you're going from work to home, and you either are talking on your cell phone, or you just maybe thinking of some stuff, and then all of a sudden, you find yourself at the house, you're just like, you weren't even thinking about that thing, right? Why is that? Because it has become automatic. The practice has become so regular, it has become a habit, the power of habit. This time, man, we're leaving out of the house, and man, you had to really think twice, like, yo, I brushed my teeth, but because it's so automatic, you just go through the motions. The power of habit. And what I want to suggest to us is that what God desires for us this year, 2019, what He is wanting to do in each one of our lives, is that God, there's some practices, there's some habits that God wants for us in our lives with the aid of His Holy Spirit. He wants us to embrace those things, become a part of who we are. And He's wanting to get to the place where initially some of these habits are going to be a struggle, or some of these habits are going to be something that's going to go against everything that you just like, I really don't want to do it. But He's going to get it to the place where these habits, as you embrace them, as they begin to become a part of who you are, will become automatic. And what will happen is that those things will be in your life and help you not to just initiate the change, but then help you to sustain the change. If you're with me, just say amen. One thing that's kind of interesting is we just kind of talk about the power of habit. Everybody knows this guy right here. And it's crazy. Why does technology do this to me every time? I'll be working 1 second, then like trips next. Hold on, here we go. All right, so the guy that I was going to put a picture up on the screen as this thing is trying to locate is Steph Curry. Everybody knows who Steph Curry is, right? Now, y'all remember that season, man, where Steph was just going buck crazy. Y'all remember that season? Like, I mean, yo, Jokers were just like, they were on path to, like, win the most games, and they ended up didn't win the most games that season. It was just kind of crazy. And I don't know if you remember, like, there was a few points in that season where Steph just did some amazing stuff. There was, like, one game, I can't remember the team. It was New Orleans. I don't know if y'all remember that game, New Orleans. We were playing New Orleans. And he ends up doing this one crazy shot. He comes up. I mean, they were losing, and he didn't come back. He's just shooting three. I mean, just bucket. And he ends up shooting this shot, like, with his eyes closed. Y'all remember that? Yeah. So the thing is, and I love this because Eric Thomas kind of talks about this on YouTube, where he talks about how, like, before that game, he had just experienced a practice where he made 77 three-point shots in a row in practice. And so his point is, and I thought it was a very powerful point, is that, like, we look at what happened there at that game, just like, wow, this is just so amazing. This is so extraordinary. But the reality is that what happened was that what he did in practice, what he did in developing some habits, is what prepared him to be able to make that shot blindfolded in that game. I like what Tony Dungy says. He says this, and here we go. Tony Dungy says this: champions don't do extraordinary things. They do ordinary things, but they do them without thinking. Too fast for the other team to react. They follow the habits that they learn. You know, it's crazy because we look at people that are really good at what they do. We look at people that are really successful spiritually, and we're just like, man, they just seem like they just got this spiritual gene where they were just able just to be like on this level spiritually. But the reality is that they are just ordinary people like us. They're just folk that just are sinful like us. But they've connected with God, and they've allowed for God to help them to develop some habits and some practices in their lives that make them open and available for the move of God in their life. If you're with me, just say amen. Here's what the Word of God says. This is, we were looking a little bit. First Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24 through 27. It says, don't you realize that in a race, everybody does what everybody? But only one person gets the what? So run to win. All athletes are disciplined in their training. They do it to win a prize that will fade away, but we do it for an eternal prize. So I run with purpose in every step. I do not just shadow box. I discipline my body like an athlete, training to do what it should. Otherwise, I fear that after preaching to others, I might myself become disqualified. What we discover is this word discipline in the Word of God. Actually, the word also is used is practice. That's another translation of the word. Also, the same word that we get gymnasium from, where someone is working out, is the same word that's used here for discipline. And so here's the thing, man. We're talking about practice. Here's what I'm going to ask us as we're in 2019. Are the habits that are characteristic of your life today congruent with the dreams that you have for your future? Are the habits that you have in your life today spiritually, are they congruent with the desires and the dreams that you have of your future? Another way to say this is like one of my favorite authors, Andy Stanley. He says this. He says, it is direction, not intention, that determines your destination. And so for some of us here, we're like, yo, 2019, it's about to be a lit year for me spiritually. I'm about to be all out for God. I'm going to be just 100 for the Lord Jesus Christ, right? But are your habits that the way that you're living right now, your habits, are those congruent with those desires of spiritual maturity? I'm gonna be tied with God. What are my habits today? What is it looking like for me today? And so the Word of God says over and over and over again, it says discipline, it says practice, it says develop these habits if we're wanting to be in a position where we grow spiritually. You want me to say amen? Here's another text here. Bible says this in Hebrews chapter 5, verse 11 through 14. Concerning him who has much to say, and it says it's hard to explain. Since you have become dull of hearing, verse 12, but though by this time you ought to be teachers, you have need again for someone to teach you the elementary principles of oracles of God. And you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is not accustomed to the word of righteousness, for he is an infant. Here's what it says in verse 14. But solid food is for the mature. It's for the what, everybody? And who, because of what? Have their senses trained to discern good and evil. We get sustained, we get it started. There's some dreams we have about where we want to be spiritually. But what do our habits look like right now? What do those habits look like? We want the Lord to help us with that. Here's another text here, or here's some key truths that we want to bring out. So, man, power of habit. Habit is so powerful. I mean, God, this is the way He is designed. There's some things that, man, we let God just do in our lives that's going to help heal some powerful things in our future. But here's the thing, some key truths that we need to understand as we are looking at habits. The first is that the Christian life is not about trying to become who we are not. It is about becoming who we already are in Christ. Do y'all see that slight, subtle shift? So when I'm living my habits, when I'm practicing those things, I'm not practicing to them to become something I'm not if I'm already in Jesus. This is not a works righteousness program where I'm going to like grip my teeth and check off this thing so that I can become who God has not already declared me to be. Amen, somebody. What we're doing, when we're adopting habits, is we are simply walking in what God has already ordained for us and declared over our lives. Amen. And so what habits end up becoming for the Christian that's in Jesus is an issue of faith. Because what it really is do I believe what God has already said about me? Do I really believe that God has said that when I enter into the Word that I have communion with Him? Do I believe that? Or do I believe my flesh when I come to the Word that tells me there's nothing for me here? Do I believe that when I get on my knees and I seek God, that I'm literally connecting with the Father? Or do I believe my flesh that tells me that I only can be down here for 2 seconds? And so the Christian life is not about trying to become something we're not. Because if I've accepted the Lord Jesus Christ, He's already declared me righteous in Jesus Christ. Now what it is about me becoming who I already am in Jesus. It's an issue of faith. And so the key truth that we need to understand as we're operating in this thing, as we're looking at habits, is I'm not adopting habits to be saved. I'm living and I'm adopting these habits because I'm already saved. I'm not adopting these habits because I'm trying to earn God's favor. I'm adopting these habits because I'm already favored. So that's a key truth. So when we look at this thing, man, we can easily turn habits and practices into legalism. Easy. Some of the most, like, legalistic people far from God were some folk that had some real strict habits. The Pharisees are exhibit A. They studied the Word. They fasted on a regular basis. They prayed, and yet they killed Jesus. Why? Because they were doing those things to earn God's favor instead of recognizing that those things, they should be done because of God's favor. So the first thing we understand, man, it's not about what I'm trying to be. It's about who I already am, and I'm cooperating now with the truth that God has declared over me. If you wouldn't just say amen. All right, here's the next truth that we need to understand. Change happens from the what? Change happens from the what? Inside out. So we're talking about habits, but I need you to understand that the first step for some of us that have not accepted Jesus as our Lord and Savior, that have not said yes to His will, yes to His will, have not surrendered our lives to Him, step number one for some of us is not the habits, but it's accepting Jesus by faith. Because when I accept Jesus into my heart, He begins to start changing some things, and He works from the inside out. Romans chapter 12, and verse 1 and 2. Let's open our Bibles real quick. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Word of God says, Romans 12, verses 1 and 2. Therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercy of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And then it says this in verse 2, and do not be what, everybody? Do not be what, everybody? Conformed to this world. But the Bible says, but be what? Transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good, acceptable, and perfect. Now, the Bible says, do not be conformed to this world. And it's interesting that in the next phrase, it doesn't say, and be conformed. It says, do not be conformed to this world. And it doesn't say the next verse. It could have easily said, and be conformed by the renewing of your mind, right? But the Bible says not conformed, which for most of us could have made sense. But it says conformed, transformed. And the reason why is just that point right there. Because the word there describing transform, when we look at some other versions of in other places where it's found, is describing, like when it talks about Jesus being transformed on the Mount of Transfiguration, when he's on the Mount, and Moses is there, and Elijah is there, and the Bible says that he in his human form, something transforms over him, and now he doesn't look like a human anymore, now he looks like something divine. What we discover in reading is that that word is describing a transformation, a divinity that is flashing through the humanity. So literally, what was on the inside of Jesus, his divinity, in that moment flashes through, and everybody's able to see his divinity on the outside. And so what we got to understand is that when God is trying to transform us, it's easy for us to focus on the outside. And some of the reason why some of us we have initiated, but we haven't sustained, is because we've been too busy focusing on the outside instead of letting God get on the inside. And that's why I was saying earlier that for some of us, step number one is accepting Jesus into our hearts. Because one of the most frustrating things, and I'm gonna ask you to testify, I'll testify. One of the most frustrating things in the Christian experience is when I have a mindset of being conformed, transformed outwardly. Because I'll start doing stuff, I'll do a checklist, I'll get all this stuff together, and then I find myself back in the same situation. Why? Because my inside never changed. So man, look, man, yo, and we, man, do we know how it rolls, man? We will roll. But we're like, yo, let it go in this thing, and we'll be doing straight. But because our hearts are the same, we're right back where we started. And so that's why Paul doesn't say, yo, be conformed, because that word is talking about some type of change that's happening from the outside. And that's what the world does. The world tries to manipulate. The world tries to, like, to seduce you. The world tries to affect change from the outside. So we have all these forces trying to change this from the outside. But what God is saying is that's not the change I want for you. I'm not trying to force stuff on you. What I want you to do is let me get on the inside and I'll start working some stuff out. So some of us right now, we're discouraged because like we're still struggling with some stuff because we accepted Jesus on the inside. What Jesus wants you to know and understand is being encouraged. Because although you may not see the outward change yet, you may not see the outward change yet, I'm still working on some stuff on the inside. You just got to believe that over time, I'm going to help your outside to match what I'm already doing on your inside. Amen. All right, so look, when we talk about habits, y'all, we ain't trying to get no legalistic up in here. Amen, somebody. All right, you know, man, now, I remember Camille was in school, man. I remember, man, like Jones, man, we'd get on these tips. And I remember one time I was eating some pizza in the calf, man, and somebody came and was rebuking me because of the cheese. And just going crazy, man. Just like, yo, folks be doing all kind of crazy stuff, man. Yo, like, well, I was there for a second, y'all. Yeah, amen. The Lord's cast me out. Amen. It's crazy because it was done to me that I fell in. Like, oh, heaven's God. Yeah. But the Lord is good. Amen. And we're going to be praying. And so those are the key points, man. We just got to remember, man, it's not about what God has already declared over us. We're not trying to become. We already are. And, man, God is going to change us from the inside out. If you understand that, just say amen. All right, so real quick, as we just kind of getting ready to wrap this thing up. Six habits that cultivate grace. We'll look at six habits that cultivate grace. And basically, when we say cultivate grace, what we're saying, again, this is not something that earns God favor. This is not something that, like, that's going to cause us, man, to God to approve us. All simply, when we develop habits and practices, spiritual habits, all it really does is creates like a highway for grace to run on. Grace is already there. It's just simply us opening up our mouth and letting God pour in. But we gotta open our mouth, amen, right? Amen. So six habits that cultivate grace. Six habits that cultivate grace. Real quick. First one that we got to adopt as we go into this next year. And this thing is tripping. But we got to put God first. We got to do what, everybody? We got to do what, everybody?
Put God first.
I mean, very simple, but this is true. And what I mean by that is something very practical. Look, one of the things, you know, it's crazy as I get older. I remember it's like a period, just especially like in my quiet time, spending time with God. Which like, yo, man, if I don't get it really quick, you know, I kind of do it any time of day. One thing I recognize, and everybody's different, I'm not saying that this may not work for you or may not. But what I'm beginning to discover, man, is that when I don't start the day, do I have any folks getting over that there? What I've discovered, man, is when I don't start the day with God, right? And I'm like, yo, God, we don't connect at noon, though, right? That joint don't ever happen. And just, you know, stuff happens, stuff like, and the enemy, he's like perfect at doing it. So, man, one thing is just cultivating the habit of just starting putting God first in the day. You know, one of the things that I was reading and like, dude, literally, I'm just adopting this thing. It's like not turning on technology for the first hour to hour and a half of your day. Some of y'all looking at now back music. That practice right there, we're not trying to adopt that. But yo, we've talked about this before, but everybody's a witness, man. Yo, as soon as you get up, if you do your devotion on your phone or whatever, yo, we've talked about this before, but yeah, we all witnesses up in here. That technology be jacking you, man. Or what happens is, like, you know, even without that, let's just say, man, your first thing is like, yo, I want to check my email, right? First thing I want to do is check social media. First thing I want to do is do something. Like, it just gets out of control and to the point where you just are so distracted. And here's the thing, even when you begin to start to spend time with God, how many know, like, when you've been, like, in technology, like, there needs to almost be, like, a, like, kind of like a distressor or just kind of like, you got to kind of break that joint for a second before you jump in. It's like you can't really just jump in from, like, being on Facebook and being on Instagram and checking your email and just jump right into the presence of the Lord. It's like you need some space between that thing. And so the reason why we just need to put God first in our day with not touching, not even looking at technology is because, man, when you just make yourself available the first thing of the day and you just enter into his presence, you have nothing that has disrupted your brain waves. He's just able to just come and just fellowship with you, man. And so this year, we just gotta start putting God first. Man, you know, and the struggle of getting up. Lord, I'm gonna be with you at 4:35. Okay, maybe 6 for somebody. All right, amen. All right. If you don't have kids, 6. If you got kids, 4:30. Amen. Now, you know you got to be up before them dogs get up. Because you ain't going to get nothing done. So, man, your dog, hey, you know, look at it today. No, that is a wrap. No prayer done. You should be praying as you want. But, man, like, we need to turn like, yo, dude, Lord, I didn't get up, man. And then, yo, you know, the alarm will go off. Hit snooze again. Excuse me, for the Father, for the Son, and for the Holy Spirit. And then boom, it's done. It's gone. And so putting God first is just making doing stuff is intentional, just like that. Putting your alarm across the room. Now I know some of us like, oh guys, that ain't gonna work for me. Because I will get up, go across the room, turn the screws, and go on back. But let me tell you what is a guarantee though. If you ask God, if you say, Lord, wake me up. Yeah. Y'all, do I have to witness anybody? Yeah. Let the Lord be punking you, though, man. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Let the Lord be punking you, man. You're like, yo, Lord, wake me up. It'd be like 2 a.m. And you'd be wide awake. And you'd be like, God, are you serious? No. It's 2 a.m. You'd be up and you'd be like, oh, dude, it's about to be 5:30. Okay. 2. What? And you know, and then the Lord will say to you, you asked me to wake you up, and then you have a decision to make. And we've all been there. You know that moment. You know that moment. You're like, okay, I can get up right now and spend some time with God, or that bed is looking pretty good over there. And you kind of feel it away. You're like, And sometimes you may get it, and sometimes you don't. But here's the reality. That battle right there, that struggle right there, man, and this is what we need other people praying for us and interceding on our behalf and holding us accountable. But man, that moment right there literally is like, it's determining a future. Because again, I have an intention, but what direction? If I'm in the bed, I'm not going to be growing in my fellowship with God. And so that first half, we gotta put God first, amen? And yo, you may need somebody to help us out. So there may be somebody, one of our friends, that they may be morning people. Like they just like, hello. You know, they're just like that type of, you know what I'm saying? Like they just got that. That may be the person I gotta connect with. I connect with Mike, and he's like, yo, get up, man. If you're married, man, and your wife, maybe I do, just babe, give me up. And if I have an attitude, just bear with me. This prepper before, right? Like, babes, you know I'm gonna be stank. You know I'm gonna have an attitude, but please ignore all that because I'm gonna thank you later. So just amen. Yeah, all right. So put God first. Amen. Second half, real quick, is get back up. Is what everybody? Get back up. Bible says simply this, and this was the righteous man falls 7 times and gets back up again. Come on, somebody say amen up in this place. And the reason why I just really want to just press that, because I feel like, again, we are great initiators. We get it started, but we don't sustain. And the reality is that, dude, we just got to trust God and His grace. Amen. That, dude, that literally He sees the struggle. And is there anybody just thankful that you even have the mind to put God first? Can we just honor God for having the mind and the desire to put Him first? So I may stumble, I may fall, I may not be perfect in that, but bless the Lord that at least I have the mindset. And so, man, if we stumble, man, we try to get up, we did it, we hit the snooze 3 times, we're back in the bed, now let's go ahead and get at it again. Man, let's go tell some of our friends that are really trying to walk in God. Man, let's just try to get with them, if you want me to say amen. Second thing, we got to stop making excuses. We got to stop doing what everybody. Word of God says this in Matthew 25, 24, 25. This guy right here, he got some talent. He don't do jack with the talent. Bible says that he ends up just making all these excuses. He said, I was afraid, I went away, hit the town, hit the ground. So just a whole bunch of stuff. Now, we just got to stop making excuses in 2019. Amen, somebody. Amen. We just got to own up to some, like, Lord, I'm sucking wind spiritually. This on me. But I need your help. Ain't gonna try to blame nobody. Ain't gonna try to blame my parents for some stuff. Ain't gonna try to blame my friends. Ain't gonna try to blame no job. No. Lord, it's me. I own it, and I need your help. Got that. Real quick, I don't want to keep us long here. The fourth thing that we gotta do real quick is we gotta write it down. We gotta do what? We gotta write some stuff down. Now, real quick, just kind of a little plug. One thing we're starting today is we're doing a 21-day challenge. You doing what, everybody? Okay, this is not a fast, but what this is just simply a desire from the body of Christ that we're saying, hey, look, there's some areas and some places that we want to grow in our walk with God. We want to grow holistically. We want to grow physically. We want to grow in every single way. And so there's some sections in here that just kind of help us to write down some goals, spiritual goals. Amen, somebody. Now, look, we know how our minds operate. And when you write something down, your mind gravitates to it, right? Man, if I say, no, dude, I am needing a Honda Odyssey then. Now, only the brothers with the children, dude, amen. Honda Odyssey is like, dude, that is like a Ferrari for me. That is my whip. I will drive that thing like, I'm past that now. I just got too many kids. So, I mean, Honda Odyssey, that's my whip. Yeah. Back in the day, man, we're like, yo, let me get this. Nah, that Odyssey is the ride right there. Amen. I'm proud of that. Yeah, I roll with that thing, man. That vehicle all day long. And so the thing is, like, you know when you're looking for something, you write it down? What is your mind begin to start doing? Doc, you be seeing a Honda Odyssey van everywhere now. Like, that joint be all over, but you had not noticed a Honda Odyssey thing before. But as soon as you write that thing down, as soon as you make it a desire, all of a sudden now you see Honda Odysseys everywhere. And the reality is, it works the same way for us spiritually. There's some stuff that we need to write down as we're talking with God. God, this is what I want to see you do for my family this year spiritually. I need to write that down. God, this is what I see, Lord, for my children this year. I need to write that thing down. Lord, this is what I see for my marriage this year. This is what I need to write down. God, this is what I see for you doing for me in my profession, in my school. I need to write that down. Here's what I see for you doing for me devotionally. Here's what I see 6 months from now. I see myself in the Word, in prayer, seeking your face, and I'm writing that thing down. And what happens is that as I just go throughout my day, my mind will naturally gravitate to what I've written down on a sheet of paper. And so, man, we that's a simple practice. But if we would adopt that, it would yield some great results. If you would be to say, all right, real quick, number 5. Do it now. What is it that, again, what is it that God is telling you to do right now? What is it? Like, there's some stuff that God's Spirit has been convincing you on that you need to do right now. Do it now. Don't hesitate. Make a decision. Make a phone call. Do whatever that thing is. Do it right now. Because how do you know when you delay? Talk when you delay, man. Woo! You be stuck, man. And so we gotta just simply do it right now. I mean, just from the book of Proverbs, man, this guy, he not handling business, his field is all jacked, his fence all broke down and stuff. And the reality is that it's just, there's some stuff that needs to be done, but he's not doing it. He's leaving it undone. We gotta do it now. And then finally, just real quick, we gotta shut it down. We gotta do what?
Shut it down.
We gotta shut it down. Yo, one of the greatest things, it's crazy because we're the Seventh-day Adventist church. We all about like the Sabbath. But man, we one of the most like Sabbath-breaking groups ever. And what I mean by that is like we focus on like, we don't focus on the right stuff, right? So like, yo, man, we're out, we're doing witnessing and stuff. Yeah, amen, praise God. That's all stuff that's going to like bless you and it's going to rejuvenate you. What I'm talking about, man, is just simply like, man, we be up all on technology. We do not understand the cycle of rest work well. There's some other people that understand that joint real well, and they're not in this church, right? But we, man, who should really get this thing, we don't. And so we find ourselves the most tired, worn out people on the planet. And what God is needing for us to develop in this year is the habit of really just stopping and resting. Word of God says in Exodus chapter 20, verses 29 and 30, it says, see, the Lord has given you the Sabbath, therefore he gives you the bread for 2 days on the sixth. Remain every man in his place. Let no man go out of his place on the seventh day. So the people rested on the seventh day. Now look, I didn't appreciate the Sabbath before I went to college. But I think student witnesses that know the Sabbath is the bomb. Like where you don't literally have to pick up nothing. You can be straight about it. Like, man, I don't have to look at this word. I don't got to study right now, and I'm good. I'm straight. Now, we got to learn how to shut it down. And as we do that, that creates margin and space for us to be able to hear God. So the reason why we haven't heard from God in months, some of us in the building, we haven't heard a word from the Lord in months, is because we don't have the practice of being still. Just shutting it down. And resting God. He wants to speak, but he can't because we just got so much going. We're just so busy. We're so distracted. We don't make room to hear the voice of God. And so, man, y'all, 20 more days, man, we're challenging each other to go to the next level of spirits. We're challenging each other to, like, literally, just for these next 21 days, just say, God, we don't want just for change to be initiated. We want for change to be sustained. And for somebody here today, like, your first step is not this 21-day challenge, God. Your first step is not even the habits. For somebody here, your first step is saying yes to Jesus. I want to invite us to stand real quick as we close. Just if you stand real quick as we get ready to close. I don't know who you are. I don't know what that situation is for you today. But if you sense in your spirit, and God's spirit is speaking to you, you just sense, you know what? I really have not made a full surrender to the Lord Jesus Christ. I have not really invited Him to be the Lord of my life. And the reality is that there's some stuff you're struggling with, there's some stuff that you're dealing with, and you're just like, why can I never get any traction? And the reality is that you have not even done the first step, and the first step is just simply saying yes to Jesus. And what I love about our God is that, man, He stamps approval on me before I've done anything. I just come to Him in faith, and I just say, I believe in what You've done, God, and He stamps approval on me. He says, You are my son, in whom I'm well pleased, and I haven't done jack squat. He did everything for me, and all I have to do is just simply accept what He has done by faith. And then when I've accepted that, He helps me to become what He's already called me. And so if you're here today, and you're saying, man, look, I need to accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. I want to just say yes to God. I want to give Him my life. I want to say, Lord, just have Your way in my life. I'm tired of doing my own thing. I'm tired of going my own way. And I just say, Lord, I want You to be the Lord. I want You to be my Savior. I want You to be my Lord. If you're here today, and you need to make that step, step number one, I want to invite you to slip out of your seat. Just come forward, give me your hand, give Jesus your heart. If you're here today, I'm just going to hold this for a few moments. If you're here and you have not made that surrender, and you say, I want to make that today, I want to choose Jesus today, we give you an opportunity right now in the name of Jesus Christ. Just a few moments of getting ready to close. We don't want to leave here without giving someone that chance, that opportunity. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Praise God. Praise the Lord for these young ladies right here. Praise God, guys. Amen. Praise the Lord. Come on, let's give God a hand clap of praise, y'all. Amen. There's somebody here, somebody else here today that needs to make that choice, that needs to make that decision. Step one, I choose Jesus. He's my Savior. He's my Lord. I surrender. I give Him everything. I give Him my all. If you're here, don't harden your heart. If He's saying to come, do it now. Do it while you have an opportunity to. 15 seconds, we're going to close. Father, we just want to say thank You for who You are. God, this year we are determined to let You change us from the inside out. There's some practices, some habits, Lord, that You want for us to adopt, that You want to become a regular part of who we are. But we can't do it by ourselves, but we make ourselves available to You. So right now, God, I just pray for every man, every woman, every boy, and girl in the house. Lord, we seek to just, for 21 days, Lord, just make ourselves more available to You. We just ask, God, that at the end of that, Lord, that You would help us, Lord, to be on another level with You. We thank You, God, and bless You today. In the name of Jesus, amen.
It's our prayer that something in the broadcast today spoke to you and was personally relevant. Please join us again for another worship experience next week. Until then, be blessed.